All right, so we'll say good morning.
Morning.
A lot of steps here. All right, let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Yud Gimel. Oh, we're supposed to start a little bit earlier today. I just realized. Okay, good. We'll have to just read a little bit faster. So says the Gemara. Let's pick up quickly. So the Gemara says we left off Tanur Rabbanan. It's actually Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. 13 lines are from the bottom. So we're going to go quickly today. Tanur Rabbanan Hamashemish Mitaso Amita Sheyutinok Yoshen Aleha. If one has relations on a bed in which a baby is sleeping, Oso Tinok Nichpe. Such a baby, again, which we mentioned yesterday, that Nichpe literally means epileptic. It means epileptic, but we also understood that what it means is detrimental effect. Lav dafka has to literally mean epilepsy. It means a negative effect. So the Gemara says, "Amar el the law habi bar shasa." It's only true if the child is not a year old. Aval habi bar shasa, but if the child is in fact a year old, less lanba, there is nothing to worry about. Velo amar el the law gani lahadi kare. Furthermore, that's only true if the child is sleeping by the foot of the bed. But if the child is sleeping by the top of the bed, less lamba, there's nothing to worry about. Furthermore, it's only problematic if you don't have a hand on the child. There's nothing to worry about. So a person should not go out alone at night. A person should not go out at night on Tuesday night or on Shabbos night. Why? Because those are nights that Agras Bas Machlos is ultimately, she's a shade, and she's there with 18 myriads of shaden. Shaden are out on those nights. Malachi Chaval, literally destructive forces. And each one of these shaden has the ability to do destruction on their own. So the Gemara says, Me'ikara havu shchichi kule yoma. So in the beginning, these shaden were out all of the time. But what happened? Chadazimna paga b'Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. One time, Machlos Bas Agras ran into Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Amrale, she said to him, Ilav demechrazon Allah barakia hizaru bechanina ubitaraso. Word now, so this is Machlos Bas Agros talking to Rabbi Chanina, and she said, "Were it not for the fact that I heard in Shamayim that they said, be careful of Rabbi Chanina and his Torah, sakanteich, I would put you in danger. I would do something negative to you." So Amarla, he said to her, "If that's the case, ichashibna barakia, if I'm so important in the celestial sphere, gozer ani alecha shlo ta'avori biyishuv li'olam, I'm commanding you that you should not walk upon the earth at all." Amrale, so she said to him, "V'matusa minach, please, shavak li ravcha porta." You're going to put the shadim, right? You're going to furlough the shadim. So right, so don't, you can't banish me forever. So shavak la leili shabasos v'leili rebios. He allowed her, he gave her the permission to dwell on the earth on Tuesday nights and Friday nights. We'll say, Rashbam points out, and Mash also points out, these were nights that people were not normally out. Shabbos night, people are in their homes. And Tuesday night, people weren't usually traveling because Wednesday was not a market day. So because of that, these were nights that people were home, and therefore there was, Rabbi Chanina felt, there wouldn't be a concern of people running into Shadim on these evenings. V'su chadazim napaga beba abaye. One time, this Machlos Bas Agros runs into Abaye. Amrale, she said to him, Ilav demichrazi alach barakia. Hizaro ben Achmani b'taraso. Were it not for the fact that they say in the celestial sphere, be careful of Nachmani. Nachmani was Abaye and his Torah. Hava sakanteich. Abaye, I would hurt you. Amar Las, Abaye said to her, Icha shivna barakia, if I am so important in the heavens, goes rani alaychi shelo ta'avori b'yishuv li'olam. Then I go ahead and I decree upon you that you should not enter into, you should not be on the earth at all. But we see that even after Abaye's statement, the Shadim are still here. So top of Kuf Yud Gimel, Amar, Hani Gizai Soninhu, Deshamti Susei, Va'asu Dabri Lahu. So those Shadim that people run into are Shadim that actually Rashbam points out over here. Kishahoch, actually Rashi also, it's easier, Rashi's right aside. Kishemahalchim memavuo shevile kramim, visusehen mishtamtim mikan ubarchim biyishuv also vidabri lahu. So the shadim actually try to now avoid populated areas, and sometimes they walk between the rows of the vineyard, and guess again, their horses escape from them, and the shadim sometimes have to go back to retrieve their horses. So again, so therefore the Gemara is essentially saying is if you run into a shade, Abaye's command worked. but sometimes the shadim have to retrieve their lost animals. Okay, again, whatever it means. But amali rav, the rav asi, lo sidr b'masa de lo tzanef be'susei, don't live in a city where the horses don't neigh, v'lo navach b'kalbo, or where the dogs don't bark. And we'll say that idea actually was because the horses neighing and the dog barking was actually protection for the city. They sense when something is coming. So if you live in a city with no horses and no dogs, you won't have any advanced warning against any kind of intruders. Furthermore, and don't live in a city, but al tidar bi'ir deresh masa asya. Don't live in a city where the head of the city is a doctor. Now, if you look at the Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Shirosha Asya, Rofe, Va'amrila Tam Tchacham, Vitarvayu Chad Taimo. So we'll say ultimately, well, actually the Rashbam elaborates more. He says, Rofe Mitmesha Tarbur for Osav, Ve'ina Osik Pitzarchi Tibor. Being a doctor is a very demanding profession. You have to go ahead and care for people. And sometimes it's life and death. So what's going to happen? The doctor is going to be too preoccupied in with treating his patients. He's not going to effectively run the city. So the Gemara goes on. Velo tinasiv tarti, don't marry two women. Don't marry two women. So again, Rashbam points out over here, velo tinasiv tarti nashi, shelo titi atzna, that they shouldn't conspire against you. Alecha l'ra. Don't marry two women. And if you marry two women, inasav tarti nasiv tlas. Then you know what? If you've already married two, then you should marry a third. Why? Because the assumption is that an odd number will prevent conspiring. I don't know. I think that this piece of advice was not accepted. But all right. Either way, if you marry, didn't marry a third. Amarle Rav Kahana. Amarle Rav. The Rav Kahana. So Rav said Rav Kahana. Hafuch b'nevelta, v'lo tafuch b'mili. Better to turn over an animal carcass and don't turn over your words. Now, what does that mean? Turning over your words means don't lie. Don't lie. Or if you say something, ultimately uphold it. So better to turn over a carcass, which ultimately is a disgusting thing, than to go and turn over your words. Poshut nevelta b'shuka. Better to skin a carcass in the shuk. B'shakil agra. And go ahead and earn an honest wage for it. V'lo tema. And don't say, kahana ana. Kahana ana literally means I'm a kohen. Right, I'm a very important person. Gavra rabba ana, I'm a very important person. V'sanya b'milsa, and such work is beneath me. Or in other words, we'll say very profoundly so that Rav was saying to Rav Kahana, an honest living is an honest living. And don't, if you have a chance to make an honest living, don't say that anything is beneath you. Everyone, all of us have to do things for our parnasa, and as long as it's honest and upstanding and serves some type of purpose, it's not beneath you. Sulkis le'igra sheruseich b'hadoch. Make sure, it literally means that when you go up to the roof, take your food with you. Look at the Rashbam. Sulkis le'igra sheruseich b'hadoch. Kishateitzi le'derech afilu b'makum karov mizonosach imach. When you have to travel, even if you're traveling to a close destination, make sure to always take your food with you. Take your food with you. Pack a lunch. Like a Jewish mother, pack a lunch. And what happens? Even if Maya Kari Bamasa, even if you could buy 100 gourds in the city, Bizuza, in the city for one zuz, Tusi Kinafach Niavu, keep your food in the hem of your garment. Or in other words, again, what he's questioning is wherever you go, always good to travel with your own food. You never know what happens, even if the destination in which you're going to has a plentiful and cheap food supply. Amarli Rav Chia Berei. Amar Rav Lechia Berei. Rav said to Chia his son, Lo Tishti Sama. It's actually what I say. Again, these Gemaras are fascinating because these are like the little pearls of wisdom, little pieces of advice that these Rabbanim are either giving each other or giving to their children. So Rav said to Chia his son, Lo Tishti Sama. What is Lo Tishti Sama? Look at Rashbam. Lo Tishti Sama. Yeah, lo tishti sama, al tishta, I mean, you see the Rashbam on his pages on the bottom. Lo tishti sama, this is five lines in. Al tishta samim, b'pnei shenikva lahem. You also know what he's telling his kid? He's telling his son, don't take drugs. That's what he's saying. He's saying literally, don't drink drugs. Why shouldn't you, sam is a drug. Why shouldn't you drink drugs? So he says, Rashbam says, al tasa samim, b'pnei shenikva lahem. Vesas, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get addicted to them. V'yehe libcha sho'alecha. And your heart is going to desire it. v'tafsid ma'os, and you're going to spend all of your money. This is so interesting, right? So stay, don't take drugs. Don't get, bless you. Don't get addicted to anything, because the moment you get addicted to anything, you're going to spend all of your money on it. And listen to what he says. Also, this is how profound this is. V'afilu l'refuga. And sometimes, how do these addictions start? These addictions begin because a person starts taking something for medicinal purposes. Sometimes he starts taking something for medicinal purposes and you get hooked on it. Lo tishtei im efshar l'refua acheres. So if you have a chance to go ahead and heal yourself through something else, better to go ahead and heal yourself through something other than the drugs, because ultimately, again, the drugs can be addictive and a person can mamish ruin their life and spend all of their money on it. Quite profound. So the Gemara said furthermore, v'lo tishaber nigra, look at the Rashbam again, lo tishaber nigra, psia gasa, no teles, more naim. So there are two ways to understand this. Either it means don't take large steps, or it means don't jump over the river. Either way, the idea is the same. The Gemara says that when a person walks in a haughty fashion, it removes some percentage of his eyesight. So he's telling his son, walk in a humble way. V'lo ta'aker kacha, again, look at the Rashbam, v'lo ta'aker kacha, shein mamish mishum chodish sofa terape. Don't extract the tooth when you have a toothache, because the toothache will go away. V'lo tekane b'chiyuvai, don't provoke a snake. I think everybody would agree with that one. Don't provoke a snake. V'lo tekane ba'arama, and don't provoke an Aramean. Don't provoke an Aramean. Don't provoke an Anjou. Tan rabbanon. Gimel in miskanin bohen. There are three things or three people that you should not provoke. Ve'elohein, and these are they. Nachri katan, a young Gentile. V'nachash katan, a small snake. V'talmud katan, and a young student. See, he says, my taima, what's the reason for this? So the Gemara says, my taima, demalchusaihu achore udnaihu. Literally, because the monarchy is behind their ears. Now, what does that mean? If you look at the Rashban, the Rashban says, the Malchusaihu Achori Odnayo Kaimun, Kilomar Asidin Ligadel, Visigadel Emason, Vienakmu Mimcha. Well, say it's such a profound idea, because sometimes we bear childhood grudges. Sometimes when people do something negative to us as a child, what happens? As a child, I'm powerless. I can't do anything about it. But when I grow up, and then if I do have some power, very often we take revenge for those things that are done during our childhood. So what he's saying is be careful, because sometimes you mistreat someone and you think they're powerless to reciprocate in any way. They might be powerless now, but one day they might have that power and you might find yourself in an incredible amount of trouble. Amarli Rav La'ivo Bray. I'll say another fascinating exchange. Rav said to Ivo, his son, Tarchi Becha B'shmaita, listen to this, I have tried to teach you Torah, v'lamistayim ilsam, but it clearly has not worked out. Now, I will say, what Rav seems to be telling Ivo, his son, is, you know, you're not going to be a Talmid Chacham. Now, what's interesting is, Ivo is quoted in the Gemara. Ivo is quoted. It's okay. But Rav said to his son, apparently Ivo is not having much success in yeshiva. So part of a job of a parent is to help groom their child for success. So Rav says, Ivo, listen, okay, you're not going to be a great Torah scholar. That's okay. Ta admarecha mili da'alma. Let me teach you some important life lessons. I tried to teach you the Torah. You didn't take to it as well. Let me teach you life lessons. Adchalo akareich zabin chazavin. While the sand is still on your feet, make sure to sell your wares. Now, what that means is that even if you've traveled somewhere to go ahead and purchase something, purchase wares, so don't wait to sell anything. As soon as you get home, sell off your merchandise, because the sooner you liquidate your merchandise, the more you can get more, and you can keep, again, a good flow of business. Kol mili zabin v'ticharet. So we'll say the normal, I guess the normal way of business is people often have seller's remorse, especially with merchandise, because prices constantly fluctuate. So a person could say, if I only would have held on to that a little bit longer, so how much more money I could have made. So it's natural to have some level of remorse anytime you sell something. Bar mechamra de zabin v'lo tichart, with the exception of wine, where wine, once you sell it, you should never regret it. Why, Abosai? Because if wine turns to vinegar, there is mamish such an incredibly large loss that you suffer. Because again, although vinegar is valuable also, it's not nearly as valuable as wine. So wine, selling off wine, is the one thing you should never regret in life. Shari kiseich, Pasach sakeh. I'll say another interesting thing. When you're conducting business, so if you sell an item to someone else, get the money from them first, put the money in your pouch, and then give them the object. What he's trying to tell his son, he's warning him against getting swindled. If you give the object first, then what? It's possible that the customer may run off with it without ever paying. Kava me'ara v'lo kura me'igra. Also, another fascinating idea. Better to have a kav from the land than a kur. A kur is a much larger measurement from the roof. What does that mean, Abol Sain? So look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Kava me'agra v'lo kura me'igra. Mutav she'ilech l'makom karov lehishtaker. Or lehistakir, excuse me. Davar mu'at me'lehistakir har b'makom rachok. It is better to have a smaller parnasa that's local than to have a larger parnasa that's in some far-flung place. And I both say that applies on two levels. Number one, because again, if your parnasa is local, you can keep a better eye on it. And number two, obviously, if your parnasa is far-flung, it means you have to travel a lot. And traveling a lot also means incredible amounts of time away from your family and disruption in any kind of normal day-to-day schedule. So he goes on. Tamra b'chaluzach lebeis sudan rohit. If you have dates in your basket, run to the house of the beer brewer. Meaning that, again, as you said before, that especially in Babel, beer was primarily made of dates. So what he's saying is, as soon as you have dates in your basket, don't hold on to them. Rather, run off to the beer brewer. Now, I will say the interesting thing was, what's the reason for that? Because the concern is, if you don't go ahead and take it to the brewer, what's going to happen over time? You're going to eat your dates. You're going to eat your dates, and that's going to cause you a loss of money. So as soon as you have it in your basket, go and take it to the brewer. V'ad kama, and how much dates should you have in your basket before you take it to the brewer? Amarav at plus a saw, even three saw, which I will say is not a large amount. Amarav papa, ilo diramoy shichra, were it not for the fact that I brewed beer, lo I atri, I would not be so wealthy. So apparently, the papa attributed his wealth to the fact that he brewed beer and he obviously sold it off. Either that, or he made the money from selling the dates to the brewer. The others say, Amar Rav Chisra said, no, I lo diramoy shichra, were it not for the fact that I brewed beer, lo I atri, I would not be so wealthy. So my sudna, I've also, what's interesting is, so how did the Gemara refer to the beer brewer as a sudna? What's sudna? What is that? What does that word mean? Amravchista sod noe ugmilos chasadim. So it's actually quite interesting. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Why is the beer brewer called the sudna? Sod noe. Sod over here means eitzatova shari mis ashrin heimena. So they call the beer brewer a sudna because sod noe. Good advice. What's the good advice? You can make good and easy money from the brewing of beer. And there is a very good reason to want to become wealthy. Why should you want to become wealthy? Because you can do a lot of good work with your wealth. And a person has means at their disposal. It means that they can help out others in a substantive way. Papa said the following. Call agov gvia boy. Any bill, meaning anytime you have an outstanding bill to someone owes me money, always requires some type of collection. So we'll say what the Rebbe seems to be saying is, more often than not, people don't just pay their bills. You actually have to go after them. So he goes on, kol ashroi, safek asi, safek lo asi. If you sell merchandise on credit, selling merchandise on credit is a very dangerous thing. Why? Because sometimes the money comes, sometimes the money doesn't come. Furthermore, vida asi, ma'os ra'os. And Rebbe, I have to understand something very interesting. Remember, often currency changed. When did currency change? When a new ruler came on the scene, when a new king came on the scene, he would mint new currency. Also, currency was very often made of actual precious metals. So what happened? And the value of the currency was based on the amount of precious metal within the coin. So you have something called ma'os ros. Ma'os ros are old coins, or coins that don't have the same precious metal value. So what the Gemara is saying is, even if you get paid from your credit transaction, it could be what? Could be that you're not going to get the best kind of currency, but rather, again, you'll get Maos Ros. Gimel Dvarim, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Anshe Yerushalayim. There are three things that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of the people, of the men of Yerushalayim. Kisha'ati yotzi lemochama, when you go out to war, al teitze berishona, el teitze ba'achrona, kedeshet tikanis berishona. If you have to go out to war, don't go out in the front of the battle, but rather go out in the back. This way what? If you have to retreat, you will be the first one to enter back into the safety of home. Now, the Rasha points out, said, obviously, you can't exactly run an army this way. What he's saying is, not everybody is brave. Not everybody is brave, and not everybody has the ability to want to go out and fight and go on the front lines. So there are always those who are valiant and ready to go on the front lines. But if you're a part of the army, he says, you know, you still have to be an effective soldier. So the best way to leverage your risk is to be in the back, and they say to be able to say, if you have to retreat, you know that you'll be safe. At least it'll give you some level of ishavadas and allow you to go ahead and fight. Furthermore, va'aseh shabbas chachol, so we saw this quoted before in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Now it's being quoted in the name of Rabbi of Anshei Yerushalayim. And better to make your Shabbos into a weekday and don't rely on others. Which also we saw as a little bit of hyperbole saying that better to have less but stand on your own, even if your Shabbos is not as nice. Shabbos is just a metaphor for this. Furthermore, try to partner in business with someone upon whom the hour smiles. Meaning, if you see that somebody's being matzliach, you know, somebody's being successful, try to partner with them so you could share in their success. There are three things that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said in the name of the men of Yerushalayim. Number one, al tarbe beganos mishum maiseh shahaya. So we'll say, interesting, don't do private things in your garden because of the episode that occurred. Meaning, a person might say, listen, it's my property, I can do whatever I want in my property. So even though you're right, you can do whatever you want to your property, but don't do private things in your property because of the event that happened. The Rashbam points out, what's the event that happens? The Gemara here is referring to the episode of David and Bathsheba. The reason why David became enticed with Bathsheba ultimately in created a downward spiral for himself and for the part of the kingdom as well, was because he saw Bathsheba bathing on her rooftop. So because he saw her bathing, he became very lustful for her. So ultimately, again, now was she permitted to bathe on her rooftop? It's her rooftop. She can do whatever she wants. But the point is, even though it's your private property, it's not a good idea to do private things in a place that may be visible or accessible to others. Bitcha bagra, as soon as your daughter becomes a bogeres, we'll say bogeres, remember, is 12 and a half years old. Shichrer abducha v'sein la, free your slave and give her to him as a wife. Also remember, when you free your Eved Kenani, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. What is the Gemara saying? Marry off your daughter as quickly as possible. Now, also, I have to understand something, that this was said, first of all, just understand that people married in general, of course, much younger. For a girl to get married at 12 and a half years old was quite normal. It's not just from the Gemara, in general society as well. As soon as she was a Bogeres, as soon as she had signs of physical maturation, it was normal to marry off a girl. Remember, boys got married a little bit later. Boys were often sometimes 15, 16 years old when they got married, but this was absolutely common. So here, what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying is, better not to leave your daughter in a state of singlehood. Ultimately, marry her off. He does, and again, is he literally saying free your servant? It's an exaggerated example. What he's saying is, even if you have to free your servant so that she has a shidduch and it's there and it's ready, do that. Again, also understand that we live in a different time, obviously, but what marriage ultimately gave a girl was two things. One, it gave her security, right? An unmarried girl was vulnerable. It gave her physical security and it also gave her financial security. He goes on, and be careful not to leave your wife alone with your first son-in-law. My time, what's the reason? Rav Chista Amar Mishum Erva. Rav Chista said, because sometimes there could be immorality. Rav Kahana Amar Mishum Mamon. And Rav Kahana said, because of money. What does that mean, money? She's going to give your son-in-law all of your money. Right? What does that mean? That this considered that the mother-in-law is going to be very lavish in her spending and giving gifts to her son-in-law. And other Rishonim point out that this has never happened.
Yeah.
Right? So either because there's a concern of immorality, or there's a concern ultimately, or there's a concern of money. So the Gemara says, Hava ha isnu. And the truth is, both are a concern. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha meinochali ha'olam haba. There are three people that receive a portion in the world to come. Eluhein, these are the people. Say, obviously, everybody has a portion in the world to come. What it's saying is, people who do these three things are guaranteed a portion in the world to come. And what are they? Both say, it's very important. Hadar be'eretz Yisrael. So, again, what's number one? If you live in Eretz Yisrael. So, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you inherit a portion in the world to come. V'hamegadal bonav l'talmud Torah. One who raises his child ultimately to learn Torah. Now, we'll say again, this is an important idea, not just raising one's child to learn Torah, but raising one's child to value Torah and lead a life of Torah. V'hamavdil al hayayin b'matzei shavasos. And one who goes ahead and makes havdalah on wine on Matzei Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? Mahi, what does that mean, making havdalah on Matzei Shabbos? So the Gemara says, the mishayim mikidush al havdalah. What is it talking about? It's talking about a person ultimately, who leaves over wine from Kiddush to Havdalah. It's referring to, we'll say, to a person who has very little wine, and what do? They make sure to leave over enough for Havdalah. So what do they have to do in order to do that? They had to go ahead and not drink during the Su'uda in order to leave it for Havdalah. So someone who exercises that level of restraint, and instead of indulging themselves, saves the wine for a mitzvah, such a person clearly has reached a very high spiritual level. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Machri Zalein HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Yom. There are three people whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces about every day. Now what that means is there are three people about whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a positive announcement. And who are they? Hadar, so again, it's actually interesting. Okay, fine. Let's go back to it. So Ha'ala Ravak Hadar B'krach Ve'ino Chote. On a single man who lives in the city and doesn't sin. Now I will say there are some sinners that in the city, there are a lot of opportunities for sin. So a single man who lives in the city and doesn't sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces about him that he's very proud of him. Al Ani Hamachzir Aveda, about a poor person who returns a lost object to its owner. So we'll say again, because obviously a poor person would have a Yitzhahara if he finds something to keep it for himself. Va'al Ashir, and about a rich person, Hama'aser Peirosav Bitsina, who tithes his produce privately. Now we'll say again, so what does that mean? That a rich person who tithes his produce privately, he's very quiet about his wealth. He does not flaunt his wealth. Rav Safra, Rava Kadar B'Krachava. Rav Safra was a single man who was living in the city. Tani Tana Kamei De Rava, but Rav Safra saw upon a. So what happened? Somebody was giving this teaching in front of Rava and Rav Safra, and Rav Safra's face began to glow because he felt. Rav Safra's face began to glow because he felt that they were talking about him. After all, he was a single man who lived in the city and yet did not sin. Amarlo Rava. Rava said, No. Lav kigon mar. They're not talking about you. Elo kigon Rav Chanina Rav Oshia. You know what they're talking about? People like Rav Chanina Rav Oshia. Listen to this, Rav Osai. The Hava Ushpachi. Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia were cobblers. Also, just, it's amazing. Can you imagine? You go to get your shoes fixed, and the guy behind the counter is Rav Chanina or Rav Oshia. It's amazing. It's amazing. I would think you would say, like, you know what, please come out of the counter. I'll do your job. You need to be just amazing. But that's just shows you just an incredible insight that lest you think that greatness in life is dependent on where you live, or it's dependent on what you do, or it's dependent on what background you have. It's not true. If you want to be great, you can be great. You want to be a shoemaker, you can be great. You want to be a farmer, you can be great. You have to make the decision to be great, and then the externalities of where you live and what you do and how you do it will help you. But it all starts with a single decision to make something great of yourself. So what happened? Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia were cobblers in Eretz Yisrael. Havayasi b'shuka dezonos. And where was their shop? Their shop was in the red light district. Zonos need shoes also. So what happens? Va'avdilei masanai lezonos. And sure enough, they were the cobbler. They were the cobblers for the zonos, for the harlots. And what happens? Va'aili luhu. And the women would walk into the shop. Inhu mistaklibu. The women would gaze at Rav Chanina Rav Oshia. V'inhu lo madlan einayu listakulebuhu. And what happens? And Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia were careful never to look upon the women. Again, also another incredible yisod. It doesn't matter how holy or how pious you are, a person always has to be vigilant. So even Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia understood that if they looked at these women, that could really be the end of this whole thing. So they never looked at them. They avoided eye contact with them. And what happens? Here's what's amazing. These harlots respected Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia so much that when they would swear about something, they would have to take a shuru on something, they would say, they would swear the following, "Bechayehen derabbanon kadishe deba'ari diYisrael." I swear on the lives of the holy rabbis of Israel. And the holy rabbis they were referring to were Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia. Just amazing. Just amazing. Samar goes weiter. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. There are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. Also, I just want to point out something very interesting to you. The Marsha in Chidushia, excuse me, the Maharal in Chidushia Gavis points out, what's a higher level? Someone who's Menochale Olam Haba? Because remember, the Gemara quoted three things that you can inherit Olam Haba for. Living in Eretz Yisrael, raising your children for Torah, and making Kiddush on, making Havdalah on wine. So what's greater? Inheriting a portion Olam Haba or being beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Maharal says, hands down, being beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Olam Haba is nice. There's only one problem with Olam Haba. Only one problem. You only get it when you're dead. Right? What about, you know, we don't live for Olam Haba. We live for Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is hopefully a byproduct of living a good life. So you know what's even better? So great, after 120, I'm happy when I have Olam Haba. But there's a whole 120 years that have to be meaningful here. So Olam Haba is great, but even better than Olam Haba is being beloved by God. What do I have to do to be beloved by God? Listen to number one. Someone who doesn't get angry. If you get angry, if you have a temper, Rabosai, by the way, you should just know, this is also reflected, the Mishnah of us also says that somebody who is or Mechubed Ben Abrios, someone who's beloved by people, is ultimately beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Someone who gets angry can't forge normal relationships, can't have ongoing relationships with people, because people don't want to deal with them. They're unpredictable. So Mishnah, so who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love? Somebody who doesn't get angry. Umi She'eno Mishtaker, someone who doesn't get drunk. Because ultimately, again, these are all common denominators. Like someone who doesn't get drunk ultimately loses control. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves are people who are even keeled, people who are stable, people who are normal, because people like that will be able to forge meaningful relationships, and people like that will be able to accomplish great things in life. And you know what else HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves? Somebody who's not exacting with his covet. Rabbi said, people wrong us all the time. It happens. And what happens? There are some people that bite back. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says something amazing. You know, if you're God, there's one thing you know that's going to happen also, which is what? People are also going to wrong you all the time if you're God. And what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu makes an active decision not to respond to every single trespass, not to respond to every single thing. He lets it go. So three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. Someone who doesn't get angry, someone who doesn't get drunk, meaning keep control in your life, and someone who is forgiving and not so exacting of others. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sonam. There are three people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Someone who's disingenuous and speaks one thing with his lips but believes something else in his heart. Someone who knows testimony for his friend and does not come forward and give it. Or someone who goes ahead and sees some immorality in his friend and comes forward and testifies about it. I'm both like, what's that last piece? Remember, an eid echad, one single witness, does nothing in halacha. So if I know that my friend committed an act of immorality and I come to Beis Din and I testify against him, what's happened? I've done nothing more than what? I've done nothing more than bimotzi shemra. I've done nothing more than ruin his reputation. So ultimately, again, what have I accomplished in that? That's spiteful. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu despises spiteful activities. Ki ha detuvya. So what happens? Tuvia is the name of a person. Tuvia committed an act of immorality. And what happens? His friend Zigud saw it. And Zigud showed up in the basin of Rav Papa and testified against Tuvia. What happens? Nagdele Zigud. Rav Papa flogged Zigud. Amarle. So Zigud says, what the heck is going on over here? Amarle. Tuvia chata. The Zigud mingud. I don't understand. Tuvia is the one who committed the act of immorality, and Zigud's getting the malchus. Amrale in. Rav Papa said yes. Tichsev lo yakum eid echad biish vaat luchudach asaratabe shame rabba alma kamafkispe. Yes, Zigud, because you know that your testimony couldn't have done anything. So the only reason you came here was what? To be motzi shemra, to cast dispersions on the reputation of Tuvia, and for that you deserve to get flogged. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav. However, again, even though you can't testify about a person who committed an act of immorality, if you're one witness, because one witness doesn't do anything, you are permitted to despise such an individual. Shana Emar, I will say, what the Gemara is introducing us here to the idea is, you're permitted to despise the sinner. Now again, what I really despise is the sin. But I despise the fact that the person, I despise the fact that you committed this behavior. And this is an important struggle side because, again, remember, if you don't despise sin, you create a system of moral equivalency. And that's very dangerous because the moment you stop despising sin is the moment that ultimately the lines between right and wrong become blurred. So the Gemara says, even though I can't show up to basin to testify against him, I absolutely despise him for engaging in this behavior. So the Gemara says, Shneimar, kisira chamor sona chalovitz tachas maso. What does the Torah say? When you see the donkey, thank you, of your enemy literally struggling underneath its burden. My sone, now who is the enemy over here? Idem a sone nafri, if you're going to say it's referring to a Gentile enemy, v'hatanya sone shamru sone yisrael, but we learned elsewhere that the sone that's being referred to over here is a Jew, is a Jew who I despise. So the Gemara says, v'lo sone nafri, elef shita sone yisrael, umi sharia limisanye, are you permitted to hate another Jew? The pasuk says, lo tisna sachicha bevavecha, you're not permitted to hate your fellow, your brother in your heart. Ela diika sadi de avadisura kuli alma nami misne sanere. Rather, the Gemara says, no, you know what the case is? The case is where you saw him do something terrible. And in that case, again, even though you can't do anything in Beis Din to him, you are permitted to despise him for the act that he did. So the Gemara says, Maishno hai, ela lav ki agavna de chaz yibe ihu dover erva. What would be the case of where you saw someone doing something terrible that would allow you to despise the individual, like someone who engaged in an immoral act? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, our mitzvah listener. So we'll say that is very interesting, because remember, the statement we had before was that Rav said it's permitted to hate him. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says it's a mitzvah to hate the sinner. I will say again, remember, you're not as much hating the person as you are hating the act. So it's not just permitted, it's a mitzvah to hate the sinner. Because it's a mitzvah to hate sin, because I will say, the more you hate it, then what? Then what? The more you distance yourself from it. Shene emar, yiras Hashem sonei ro. Amar av achabrei drava l'ravashi. Mahu lememra le l'rabbei l'misanye. Are you permitted to tell the person's Rebbe that the person's Rebbe should hate him? So we'll say, let's say I see Reuven commit Naveira. I'm 1-8. So I'm not showing up to Beis Din because I'm not going to do anything. I know I'm permitted to hate Reuven. Can I tell Reuven's Rebbe? Can I tell Reuven's Rebbe? So Reuven's Rebbe should know what his Talmud is doing. Amarle, I yada de mehem le Rebbe ke betrei lemale. V'i lo lo lemale. This is very interesting. If you know that the Rebbe will believe you when you give this testimony, literally like two witnesses, then you can tell the Rebbe. But if you're going to tell the Rebbe and the Rebbe's not going to really believe you, then what? Better not to say anything, because all you've done is what? You've planted a seed of ill will, and the person doesn't necessarily even believe you. Well, it's just a very profound yisod also. Tanu Rabbanan, shloshan chayehen einan chayro. We'll say another profound. I almost wish we had a couple of days to do this block, because there's so much here. So there are three people whose lives are not lives. So we'll say what that means is there are three people whose lives are very difficult. Who are they? Listen to this. Bless you. Harachamonin, those who are exceptionally compassionate, harashchanin, those who have terrible tempers, va'anine hadas, and those who are very delicate. And I will say, what's the pshat? We're looking at Rashbam for just a moment. Harachmanin, Rashbam says, yoser midai, va'ani shloshimi li davar hatadye ba'en, kol shah, v'cheivan du makbir alein in chayiv chayim she'in lo minucha. I will say, listen to this. What does it mean, Rachmanin? I will say, the world is filled with incredible pain and incredible difficulty. It's important to have compassion. It's important to have empathy. If you are too compassionate, if your heart is too soft, your heart is going to be broken because you'll be overwhelmed by the suffering and difficulty in this world. Raschanin means someone who gets angry. If you have a bad temper, Rabbi Osai, so the truth is you're going to have a terrible life because ultimately everything will set you off. And in Inini Hadas, if you're delicate, in life, you have to have a thick skin. If you don't have a thick skin, ultimately circumstances of life will break you quite quickly. But Amar Rav Yosef from Yosef said, I'm in big trouble because kulu isnu bi. I have all three of these things. Right? I'm very compassionate. I get very angry easily. And ultimately, again, I'm very delicate. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Sonin Zadzah. There are three things, there are three groups that hate each other, meaning they hate the fellow members of their group. Klavim, dogs apparently hate each other. Tarnagolin, roosters. And Chabarin. Chabarin also was a group of Persians, a sect within the Persians. Vish Omrim Afazonos. Others say even harlots, because again, there's a competition between them between business. Vish Omrim Af Tamidei Chacham Sheba Bavel. And some say even the Torah scholars in Bavel don't like each other. Okay? Tana Rabbanan. Shlosha Oven Zanza. I'll say there are three groups that the members of the group love each other. Who are they? Elohim, Hagerim. Right? Rabbo said there is a camaraderie within the community of converts. That again, they just feel a connection to each other. Avadim, servants, Varvin, and crows. Rabbo said the common denominator also among these three groups is they have very little ego. Very little ego. That ultimately, again, because again, there's nothing for them to really be pompous about. So ultimately, again, lack of, it's just a good yisod in general, lack of ego allows for forging of relationships. So the Gemara goes right there. There are four things that it's very difficult to tolerate in life. And what are they? Elohim, dalgeya, a poor person who's arrogant. Ashir mechachish, a rich person who doesn't pay his bills. Vizakein menayiv, and an old person who's immoral. So I'll say again, the logic behind, because a poor person has nothing to be arrogant about. A rich person, just pay your fashnunk in a bill, you could afford it, right? And a zakim inap, an old person who's immoral, again, you're old. The desire is not as strong. The only reason you're doing this is to prove something else, but why do it? Uparnes miskai alatziwa bechinam. And a leader who seeks to impose his authority on the community for no reason. Sometimes you have to impose authority. Sometimes you have to flex muscle of authority. But sometimes it's just a demonstration of strength for no good reason.
What does Ein Hadassah sublessen mean?
People can't tolerate it. Right? Meaning people can't understand this type of behavior. People can't stand it. They can't stand it. Beish Omrim, others say, Af hamagarish ishto rishpam rishona ushnia umachzira. Others say, it also applies to a man who divorces his wife one time and remarries her, a second time and remarries her. So people don't understand why would somebody do that. But Tanakama did not include that last one in his list. Why? Zinnan diksuvasa meruba. Inami yishlobani man. Rabosai, sometimes a man divorces his wife, Rabosai, because he can't stand her. And then what? And then he realizes, wow, it's actually pretty expensive to get divorced. So what does he do? He remarries her. He realizes he has to pay the ksuba. Or sometimes he realizes that he has to remain married to her for the sake of the children. So the concept of a man divorcing his wife and then remarrying her is not something that's so crazy. Chamisha dvarim tziva Kenan es banav. Five things Kenan commanded his sons. Number one, avu zeze, love each other, be good to each other. Va'avu es hagezel, and love theft. Va'avu es hazima, and love immorality. V'sinu es adonichem, and always hate your masters. Va'al tedabru emes, and ultimately, again, never speak the truth. Shishet v'am ne'amar b'sus. There are six things that were said about the horse. Oivis haznus, the horse loves immorality. Oivis hamochama, it loves war. Ruchal gasa, it has a very arrogant spirit. Umois es hashena, it hates sleep. Ochal harbe motzikima, it eats a lot and only gives off a small amount of waste. And others say a horse is always trying to kill the one who rides it in the midst of war. There are seven people that are excommunicated to heaven, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset at them. Who are they? Yehudi she'en lo isha, a man who refuses, this doesn't just mean a man who's not married, it means a man who refuses to marry. Or b'shiyesh lo isha ve'ein lo banim, or he has a wife but refuses to have children. Not to mention somebody who can't have children, someone who actively refuses to have children. Or b'shiyesh lo banim ve'ani magalan Talmud Torah, or someone who has children and he doesn't raise them to be involved in Talmud Torah. Or someone who does not have tefillin on his arm, tefillin on his head, tefillin on his arm, tzitzis on his garment, or a mezuzah on his doorpost, and someone who goes ahead and doesn't wear shoes. Again, Rabbi, so we spoke about shoes already beforehand. And furthermore, even someone who what? Rabbi has an opportunity to join in a meal for mitzvah, but actively chooses not to do so. All right, then we'll stop over here for today. How much people love lists? Lists are very helpful. Everybody's going to have their 10 commandments, right?